across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go.
0344 499 1000. You watch tomorrow. England is going to be full of Scottish people slapping their kids. They're all going to come here and do it. How could anyone? I can see all the tweets and texts that the other shows on this station get. I can see everybody who wants to smack children. I mean, we all think that's smack children. Of course, smacking children should be, assaulting children should be illegal. It seems really, really obvious to me. Ever smacked your kids, Kath?
No.
Never smacked mine. Are your kids, are they going around stabbing each other?
No.
No. Although, let me find a text I saw earlier. Hang on.
I heard an expert, quote-unquote, talking to Eamon Holmes earlier today.
Yeah.
It was a guy from Spiked.
Okay.
Saying that...
I don't know what Spiked is.
I think it's an online magazine, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Saying that it's an expression of love, smacking your children, setting them straight, and a slap.
Okay.
I prefer a low tone and threats.
Yeah.
This is what works for me. We don't do that. You carry on.
I can't find it, but there was a message earlier saying, I bet none of the kids who go around stabbing each other were smacked as kids. Well, that's rubbish. I was smacked as a kid, right? And I was smacked as a kid, never did me any harm. Well, hang on, I turned out to be a divorced drug addict. Not saying that was the cause for it, but there has been some harm in my life. Was the smacking part of it? I don't know. And most people that say, well, smacking never did me any harm, look at the state of you idiots.
My mum...
I'm cleverer than you. That's why I don't smack my kids, because I'm clever. I'm smart. I don't raise my hand and they go, oh, God. I talk to them. I discuss things. And if they don't, you know, I educate them and I punish them with other ways.
My mum used to slap me now and again. And she regretted it every time.
Yep.
She would come up and say that she regretted it every time. And she's spoken to me since as an adult. And she said that one time she really did go to town on me. I know, I can't remember that. She said, but she knew she'd lost her temper. She knew she'd lost her temper.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that to my children.
No. If you want to phone up, here's the thing. The people listening to this show are, for the most part, intelligent, well-rounded people. So there won't be anyone going, but I smack my kids and I'm all right. See, if you smack your kids, you're thick. I once had an argument with Philip Schofield about it. He used to smack his kids. Thicko.
It's old-fashioned.
Thick Phil, I call him, because it's you don't need to do it. And then so goes, what if they were about to run in front of a car?
I should be holding your hands.
And they ran in front of the car. And they said, right, well, if they'd run in front of a car, they'd be shitting themselves anyway. I would happily shout at them to stop them running. I would have a strong word with them about the effects and all of that. I would judge the situation. I'm not going to hit them. Idiots.
Also,
yes?
You lose the argument if you hit a kid. Because then they hit their sister or brother or kid in the street, kid at school. And you can't say to them, don't hit somebody. Well, you hit me. When my daughter hits the other one, I always say, now, why did you hit your sister? She annoyed me. You're annoying me. I don't hit you. Why not?
My mum bit me once.
Because
I bit the cat and threw the cat down the stairs. And then I bit my sister. And so she bit me. And I never bit again. But 40 years later, I'm still talking about the day my mum bit me and thinking, that was weird, man. That was a weird thing to do. I tell you who the type of person that probably enjoys hitting their kids is the type of people, and we get them occasionally, who phone me up and say they want to beat me up because they don't like my views on things. That's what happens, guys. So no, well done, Scotland. Let's bring it into the rest of the United Kingdom, please. Makes absolute perfect sense. Of course, we should not physically assault children. Makes sense to me. Let's go to Lee. Good evening, Lee.
Oh, you've got me coming up to a place where there's a dead spot on the phone. What, Catherine? Lovely to be on your show, darling. Hello, Ian. All right, mate.
I'm the one that controls the faders. So.
Are you real?
I'm the one that controls the faders, so I don't know. Well, we'll give him another go. It's been a long day. Let's give him another go. Go on, Lee. It's a second chance. Away you go.
Have I done something wrong?
Apart from being a prick, no. Go on, what you got?
Oh, Ian, don't say that, mate.
Lee, what?
Love you. Don't call me a prick, okay. For God's sake.
All right, sorry, Dad. What would you like?
Catherine, sort him out.
What would you like to say, Lee?
No, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about pain. Remember? Pain.
Yes.
Remember?
I remember, yes.
Catherine, stop taking the piss.
Stop giving me material then. Crack on.
Get to your point, please.
Well, I'm trying to crack on, but you're batting in, Cap.
I'm not butting in. I'm in charge.
All right.
Continue.
All right. I remember. All right. I remember.
Oh, we're taking the mic out.
No, it's waiting for you to get on with what you're saying, you absolute muppet. What do you want?
You're racist, Ian, taking the mick out of my language. Anyway, about this pain.
Yes.
Right. I knew nothing about pain apart from banging me toe in me funny bone. Then 14 years ago,
yes.
We got a little step down to our toilet at home.
Yeah, go on.
No, what's... I don't even know why that was funny. Anyway.
A little step down to your toilet.
No, listen. You're laughing. I never fell down it.
No.
My wife did.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
And as she stepped down, you know sometimes,
yes.
Like,
yes.
You go on the edge of your foot and you sort of go to the side. She broke her ankle.
Oh.
It was bent. All out of shape.
Oh, unlucky.
So, I'd done the right thing, you know, as the husband.
Yes.
I just run around the kitchen with my hands in the air because I just could, like, looking at her foot.
It was horrible.
I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway.
Bag of peas.
14 years, like, no, mate,
bag of peas.
14 years later,
yeah.
She lost her job in the bank. She used to work in the bank.
And
everything was hunky-dory. So they put her in plaster, all that. 6 weeks later, the plaster come off. And generally, you think everything's going to be all right. But it wasn't. And it took like a year or so for someone to give a diagnosis.
I'll tell you what the most painful thing is, listening to this phone call. Well, I'm living this in real time.
You're, Ian.
What?
I like you, but you're an arsehole.
You are.
Can I talk to Catherine and maybe she won't be so rude?
I will turn my, I'm turning my back on you and I'm not listening. Catherine, tell me when he's finished. It'll be about an hour.
Proceed, Lee, come on. Let's hear it.
Anyway, all right then, because I do go on a bit. I know that because my wife tells me. Anyway, have you heard of the McGill pain scale?
He's talking to you because he's not talking. He won't talk to me anymore. Tell me to talk to me.
Tell me about it.
Very petty man.
I got struck off, so no. I've
what do you mean tell you about? I just told you, Catherine.
Hey. Don't be shouting at me, mate.
No.
Let's all calm down.
It's the craze versus, what are you like, Peaky Blinders? Come from around your way, isn't it, Kath?
Mm-hmm.
It's the craze versus the Peaky Blinders. Away we go.
I'm not from Birmingham.
Well, what is it from Manchester then? What's the Manchester equivalent? Bez. It's the craze. It's the craze versus the happy Mondays. Hang on a minute. It's the craze versus the happy Mondays. It's the craze versus Joy Division. What is the gangster equivalent?
He doesn't sound like the craze. He sounds like Charlie Slater.
Okay, all right.
You're telling me I'm going. How about him? Who's going back turn to me?
We have to go on. We'll get paid to talk for 3 hours. Anyway,
Well, if you be quiet, I'll tell you for the first time.
I asked you to tell me about the McGill scale and you took umbrage. Now, deep breath.
She said umbrage. She said umbrage, not Uxbridge.
Yeah, it's a word. Listen, I'm a black cab driver. I thought she said Uxbridge. I don't know what umbrage means, but anyway.
Offence.
You want crossings go on the other side of the river.
Right. I've just got home, so I'm gonna reduce my volume.
Reduce your volume. You don't want to wake your wife in case her foot still hurts. Why don't you go into your luxury hot tub in your back garden?
No, listen, Catherine, have you heard of the McGill?
No. Again.
Right, look here, I'm on a computer, Kath.
I ain't looking it up. If you know what it is, you tell me.
Tell
me about the McGill scale. This is the fourth time you've mentioned it and you've not told me anything about it.
Right, I'm just about to because I've got it up already.
Dirty.
And where are ya? And what it is.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Here we go. Right, this is the McGill Pain Index. Ian, don't wind me up, son.
No, not doing anything.
I'm from South London.
Yeah, so what? Do you know John Ruskin Street?
Of course I know John Ruskin Street. Well, Camel New Road, the other end.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, my family used to live on John Ruskin Street, so don't give me this South London nonsense. Hillingdon Street, then it goes round. You know Hillingdon Street, then it goes round to John Ruskin Street. That's where my nan used to live and where my cousins used to live.
Do all you people shout?
Oh, you're an odd bastard, isn't you?
What's your language? Yeah. We can't have a beat. What's
your common.
Very common. Very proud. Very proud of it.
You're very common.
He's having a go at me for being common.
Anyway, the pain scale.
Right. So, zero is no pain. Then it goes up to number 10, which is a sprain. Number 20, toothache.
Yeah.
You had toothache, Kathy.
Yeah.
Top toothache.
Number 30, this phone call.
On the Joanna now.
Come on, you can't resist.
To me, and he's on the poxy piano.
Because I'm a Londoner, that I think about wherever I roam.
Come on, everybody.
I get a lonely feeling inside of me. It's number 5 on this crappy scale. I'm singing so loud I woke the missus up. And my brothers are in jail.
So, number 20.
He's still doing.
Number 20, it goes after shingles, nerve pain, and arthritis. That's number 20.
Arthritis?
I know him.
Listen. You're spending too long with him.
20 minutes on
you
this
never
phone
used
call.
To be like this, Catherine.
I've always been like this.
Not as bad.
Yeah,
you're getting worse.
Are you telling us that the highest pain is the pain that your wife may have felt being married to you for so long? Is that what we're getting to?
Not really.
Hey, Lee.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love Londoners. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think about wherever I go. I get a funny feeling inside of me. This will be up and down. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London sound. Maybe it's because he's a Londoner that he won't shut bloody up. Maybe it's because he's a Londoner that he's getting on all about it. He phoned up 20 minutes ago to tell us about her indoors. The thing is, he's never been married, 'cause he's a bloody bore.
Anyway, number 30 is fibromyalgia, and I can't read the other bit.
I'm surprised you read that much.
But some of it is chronic back pain and phantom limb pain.
Phantom limb pain.
Right.
Yes.
That's 30.
Okay.
We're going up to 50. Alright, relax. I'll try and get quicker. Oh, this is going to annoy Catherine. Oh my God. Guess what's number 40? Childbirth.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you hear that, Catherine?
Yeah, but I had very pointy children. You find a bit where it says the kids are pointy. Honestly, one of them had a fist to her face. It was like giving birth to the thinker.
What is the point of this? Can we just jump to number 50? And was it your missus that felt the pain?
Listen, number 40 is childbirth. Oh, and 42 is CRPS, chronic regional pain syndrome.
I'm feeling it right now.
That's what she's got.
Right. And at number 50, it's banging your knee on a coffee table.
No. Do you know what number 50 is?
Is it a paper cut?
Wrong.
Standing on a Lego.
Is it a kick in the Jacobs?
Ringing Ian Lee.
Get out of here.
I kind of love him.
What a waste.
Can we keep him?
No, we cannot. What is that? This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Calling me common. let's go to Jake. Good evening, Jake.
Yeah, good evening, Ian.
Jake, whoa.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to tell him? You tell him, please.
Yeah, Jake, you can't drop the F-bomb.
Okay, that's your yellow card.
Kathy?
Withdraw,
yeah? First of all,
right.
I've got...
Right.
Where's this going? Jake, your fader's down. No one can hear you. Gonna give you one more chance, right? You can't drop an F-bomb on the air. You cannot speak to the co-host of the show like that anytime, okay?
Whatever.
Okay.
Thanks for your time, Jake. Really nice speaking to you. 0344. Do you want to try again? Do you want to be polite, young man?
Yeah, I'll be polite.
Would you like to apologise to Catherine?
I haven't said anything untoward towards her.
Would you like to apologise for the F-bomb?
To who?
Thanks very much for your call, Jake. Goodbye, mate. Goodbye.
You seem nice.
You've been waiting about 30 minutes for that.
Here's the thing, right? I barely tolerate Kath. Call me Kathy.
No.
I'm going to get my back up.
No.
Calling me Kathy and telling me to pipe down. Not going to work.
Just manners, guys. Here's the thing. She ain't here just to make the tea. She does make tea. She ain't here just to make the tea. She's not here to... She's the co-host, right? We host this show together. She also produces the show as well, so she does a lot more work than me. Now the podcast you get, she does that. Ain't me, right? So it's not like she's here, we're doing her a favour. It's not like she's won a competition to be here. The competition she's won is like 20 years, 25 years, really hard work to be co-hosting a national late-night radio show. So don't phone up and speak to her or me or Sam or anybody on this team like that. Ever. Jake, if you want to phone up and apologise, and you want to do it with good grace and good humility, I will certainly listen to it. It's up to Catherine whether she decides to or not. I can't speak for her. But I would certainly consider your apology. But don't anyone phone up like and speak to you like that, or me or Sam like that.
No.
And by the way, people are rude to Sam. Sam's the young man that answers the phones, right? Guess what? He tells us. He's not grassing. He tells us. Right? Because I've asked him to tell us if people are rude to him. But some people are very, very dismissive to him. All right, he's calling back in. We've got a full delay. All right, let's see how this goes, Catherine. Are you okay to speak to him again?
Yeah, as long as you don't give me any old lip.
Okay, Jake.
Yeah, hi, Ian.
Three, and hi, Kathy. Sorry if I...
Stop calling me Kathy.
Is it... What's your name? Catherine?
Yeah.
Catherine of Aragon. Okay. Right. Let's move forward.
No, right. Well, I'm not ready to move forward.
Why?
Because you sound like a bit of a knob. What's the matter? Why are you coming on all attitude? Why are you coming on full of attitude?
I've got one. It's not very big, but it works.
I doubt that. Listen, why? What's with the
attitude? No.
Excuse me. What's with the attitude? And why are we now? Why are we discussing your fertility?
Because I've got three wives. Why did you give that?
Fascinating character.
I know. So full of fury.
Fascinated.
Yeah.
Not fascinated enough to listen to his points, but fascinated why he's so angry.
Yeah. And it's directed at me.
And it's directed at women. You're a woman.
Yeah.
We got the test results back, guys, and turns out I was wrong. I owe you an apology. She is a lady. Anger directed at you. Fascinated. I could do the rest of the show just fading this guy in and out.
This is the other thing. When people come on and they think they can divide and conquer.
You know, we're like really good mates and stuff. We've worked together for about 6-7 years. You know that, right? We're really good mates. And our kids play with each other and stuff. You know that. So,
go on.
I'm from the 90s.
Missed all of that, Jake. I'm like
a Terry Christian.
Okay. No, Terry Christian has redeeming qualities. Jake, what
was... You are Terry Christian with black hair.
What are you shouting for?
Because...
Why are you so angry, man? What's the anger about?
I'm not, though. I'm not. I'm just animated.
Are you on drugs? Can I ask that? Are you on cocaine? There's a cokey vibe coming here.
No, you are already on drugs. Sorry, Ian. Sorry.
I'm on Nurofen.
I was going to ask if you are.
I'm on Nurofen.
I was going to ask if you're on drugs. And
I haven't had a Class A drug since March the 27th, 2018.
So you say...
I have no reason to lie about it.
Well, I have no reason to believe you.
Okay. Are you on drugs? Because there's a very dark vibe that generally only comes from cocaine that I'm getting from you.
Cocaine? Odd.
You don't understand the word cocaine. Wow. Okay. That's the best you got.
I don't understand why you brought it up.
Because I'm
it
telling
must
you,
be something that's prevalent and pertinent in your life.
No, because I'm getting a very dark... I told you, Jake, but you're not listening.
Because it's part of your life.
It's
part of you. It's who you are. You're a cocaine addict.
I'm not a cocaine addict. I'm a drug addict. I would take any drug that was put in front
of me. You're a cocaine addict. That's why you brought up cocaine.
I was a drug addict. I am a drug addict.
You brought up cocaine because you have a cocaine addiction. Bringing up cocaine. I do not do cocaine.
I think you do
stop
cocaine.
Stop bringing up cocaine.
Stop saying cocaine.
You said cocaine more than I have.
Because you brought it up first.
It wasn't an assumption. It was a question. Didn't assume anything. I never assume anything. I questioned things.
That preceded a question.
Jake, you're not as clever as you think.
You are a bad man. And I shall stop you.
Oh.
What did he say?
I shall stop
you. You will not stop me. I am here.
I will stop you, Jake, because you're not here anymore.
What was that?
Stopped you. Let's go to Michael. Good evening, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello, yes, Ian. Hello, hi.
Hello.
Yep, just wondering, I understand you have
Is there like a new drama school started or something, and they've all been set the assignment. Right, here's what you have to do. You have to create a character, and you have to go on a national phone-in show and really live that character. I want you to record it and bring it in, and we will listen to them next Monday, and the best one will get an A+. Is that what's going on, Michael?
Okay.
Fred, the callers from last night. What would you like to say, Michael?
I'm just wondering that I understand you have a video game convention coming up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, including my friend Zypho.
Okay, I don't know who's going to be there, but I will be in Blackpool on October, I think it's the 12th and the 13th.
12th to the 13th. Okay then, mate, thank you very much.
and seen.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
And
again, Alan. Okay, line one.
Now you're talking, Ian. How you good, boy?
Thank you very much indeed. Well done, everybody. Friday has begun. You hit that cowbell anytime you want, sunshine. Catherine, your rusty old shaker. It's a delight to see it again. And thank you. Live one, you're live on Talk Radio. What can we do for you this evening?
How you doing, Ian?
Very, very well. If music be the food of love, I'm shit-faced.
I like it like this.
Too late.
Remember?
Yes.
Remember, inflation in the nation don't bother me because I'm a scholar with a dollar, you can plainly see.
Flavor Flavor's called in. Wowzers, it's Chuck D. Biggie
now
Smalls.
Now you're talking, bro.
Yes, man. What can we do for you tonight?
Just want to pop into you and just say, love your program.
Oh, I love you.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
You give me the highest time of my life.
Oh.
Keep it going.
Yes, man.
Love the both of you. Catherine, you've got a sexy voice, and oh. You, Ian... You are the man.
Hey! Why have I not got a sexy voice, mummy?
Mummy, why is my voice not sexy?
Some of us have got it, just some of us hasn't.
Ah, someone who has got it is the Cadster, the Cadatollah Khomeini himself. Alan Caddick, welcome to the show! What can we do for you, sir?
I was wondering, have you got the number for the Euro Millions? Because it's a big jackpot tonight.
Yes, I have got the number for the Euro Millions. It's 3.
Yeah, that's 1.
6.
Yeah.
9.
Yeah.
12.
Yeah.
24.
Okay, and the 2 lucky stars?
69.
I don't think 69 was a lucky star.
Sacrifice!
Very lucky.
And 1,042. How did you do?
Not even one number.
Oh, mate, that's unlucky, ducky. 03444499 with that 1,000. Slight problem with the phones. In as much as we can only have one person ringing in at a time. What that means is we can rack the calls up, but only one line rings at a time. Are they saying that's quiet? Mm-hmm. They're liars. I tell you someone who's not a liar, though. It's a great friend, and it's great to have him back. It's Malky. Good evening, Malky.
Good evening. How are you doing, Paul?
We're on the top of the world looking down.
Mine's is just a quick call, Ian,
yes,
right? I want to discuss Ian Lee tonight.
Okay. I like that guy. Whatever happened to that guy?
Well, I was seeing my pal on the train. We're chatting. I was telling him about... You remember your guy who phoned up and asked, was talking about Brexit, and then you mentioned the Beatles?
Yes.
I was telling that, and he said, that guy is the most hilarious man ever. He goes, and I went, I listen to him all the time. And he went, well, I'm going to be tuning in.
Yes, sir.
I just I just want to...
Who is he? Who is he? Let's dedicate the show to this this guy.
Alan Perry.
Alan Perry, Alan Perry, Alan Perry, Alan Perry, stick it up your bum.
Oh,
Alan, the show Malky is dedicated to the memory of Alan Perry. When did he die?
Yesterday.
It's a sad loss to the Perry family. Our thoughts and wishes and prayers are with the Perry family. And if Alan's spirit is somewhere in the ether, you're very welcome to communicate with us. Dans le sac. 0344. I haven't got a bit of paper. I haven't got anything, which is fine. 0344-499-1000. This stick is like a tiny parsnip. If you want to give us a call, it is, isn't it? You can't deny it. It's like a tiny parsnip.
He's talking about his scraper.
Those watching know. We have prepped nothing for the show this evening because Catherine was busy throwing up.
Yes, mate.
Are you pregnant with a baby?
No, I don't think
so. Is it a baby in your belly that's making you puke?
No, I don't think so.
What is it? Rotten guts?
I don't know.
Have you got the trots?
I don't know.
Let me ask a few questions because, as you know...
I thought you got struck off.
Well, I technically, yes, but I still know they can't remove the knowledge from you. Number one, have you chundered?
Yes.
Vomited?
Yes.
Yes. Have you got the trots?
No.
Have you got tag nuts?
No.
Have you got any winnets about your person?
No. Can we move on from that? There's no fecal involvement.
I know what I am doing. Please leave it with me. Have you got any dangleberries whatsoever?
Yeah, one that's about 6'4", so it's opposite me. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. She's talking about me. Well, I'm not going to kill you then. In that case, the hex is put upon you and long may it last. Curses, hexes, bad luck, anything like that. We'll talk about that tonight. 03444991000. You can ring in now, I think. Yes, they can. It's so confusing. You can ring in now, but we can only take one person at a time. Don't worry. It'll make sense. Here's my tip. If you're ringing in and you have the hold music for more than 90 seconds, you've not made it through the system. Put the phone down and try again. 03444991000. Have you ever had a curse put on you by a gypsy? I say that in the truest sense. I'm not being offensive. Ever had a hex put on you? A curse? Bad luck? Anything like that? 03444991000. Let's go to our friend of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been too long. It's only Stuart. Good evening, Stuart.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Stuart. What have you got for us?
Well, I just want to say thank you for doing the Periscope on the call I had with you last night. I've had a few people saying, can we have some headphones so we can listen to the callers?
Oh, the headphones are on.
Oh, are they? Oh.
Hang on. The headphones, have I got the phone the right way? Yeah. Hang on, talk into it.
1, 2, 1, 2, zzz, zzz.
The headphones are on. What are you talking? Headphones are on, Big Stu.
Oh, I don't know then. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, now they're saying it sounds fine to them.
Stu, what can the matter be? The Periscope is on. Do not tell the bosses. We are literally, this isn't me being cute. We're actually not allowed to do it. Periscope.tv/Ian Lee if you want to watch the show in all its heavenly glory. Anything else, Big Stu?
No, that was...
Tutty bye! This is Talk Radio!
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk, with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. So, ever had a curse, a hex, bad luck, just something put on you or your family? 03444991000. How did you combat it? Before the show, Catherine and I were watching the Tim and Eric movie, Billion Dollar Movie, and then we watched a little bit of Monty Python, and it got me thinking, sketch groups. Let me just write down... the wrong answer that someone will tell us this, and this is the wrong answer, okay? And I will, when they say it, I'm going to hold it up and show you the wrong answer.
Yeah.
Sketch groups, troops, gangs that have made movies.
Oh.
Sketch groups. I've got a wrong answer down here that someone's going to suggest. When it does, let me get a klaxon sound effect, okay? When someone gives the wrong answer that I have predicted, then they're gonna be hitting the ears.
with a nuclear klaxon sound. Sketch groups that have made movies. Have you got any, Catherine?
Thinking,
Include the you do the obvious ones. The obvious one.
What, like Kevin and Perry? It was a spin-off
that's
from a
not
sketch
obvious,
group
but that's,
thing.
That's, I wouldn't class, but see, I wouldn't class Harry Enfield and Kathy Burke as a sketch team. Because it was the Harry Enfield show.
Yeah, and chums.
Terry Enfield, I don't know if I would include that. The obvious one I was thinking was Monty Python.
Oh, right.
Monty Python.
Oh, all right. Okay. I was thinking beyond that.
Monty Python. So I've got some American ones. Kids in the Hall did Brain Candy. Tim and Eric did Billion Dollar Movie. And Mr. Show did a film that isn't really very good at all. In fact, quite often these films are never quite as good as the series. I would suggest Monty Python is the exception there that proves the rule. 0344-499-1000. Sketch troops.
All right.
Yep.
Modern one.
Yeah.
Horrible Histories movie.
Would you class them as a sketch?
I think it's a sketch troop. Show.
I'm putting it down, Catherine. I'm putting it down. Horrible Histories. Okay, I'm putting that down. Yeah, I'll have that. It's good. Sketch groups that have done movies. 0344-499-1000. There is a wrong answer that someone will phone in or will search, some idiot on Twitter will definitely suggest it. 0344-499-1000. It's a Friday night. Everyone's feeling all right, baby.
I'm not feeling
all right. Oh, Kath's got rotten guts.
And Dickie.
She wouldn't let me... all right, Dickie has got rotten guts. They've changed their name. She wouldn't let me question her. So, unlucky for her. Let's go to our good friend and regular caller to the show. It's Matt. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening.
Good evening, Matt.
It's my first time.
Oh,
I'm not a regular caller.
Oh, what I'm saying is I hope you will be with a snort like that. What can we do for you, Matt?
I've been seeing you struggle. I was watching the stream on Twitter.
Yes.
You've got no idea where this is going, so I thought I'd phone in with my random suggestion.
Okay, random suggestions. Well, 0344-499-1000. What's your random suggestion?
There's a game we used to play when we were in the pub, which was football team is made up of strange collections. So it would be Muppets versus fags.
Fags? I don't think you can say fags anymore.
Fags. I mean, like, Benson and Hedges.
Oh, my
be the
God.
Back
thank
row.
Goodness. Everyone breathe a sigh of relief. We're still broadcasting. I thought you meant doesn't matter what I thought. I apologize. Okay. So Muppets versus cigarettes.
Yeah, Muppets versus cigarettes. Yes. Or you'd have a back line of beers, you know, Wood, Heineken and Stella Artois be the Larry frontmen. Or yeah. Would you have, if it was cartoons, how would Scooby-Doo play against, exactly.
He'd be hiding behind the goalpost dressed as a sexy waitress.
Exactly.
Yep.
I don't know, you just, the comic implications are
endless, are almost beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about football. I saw a football match today, I went and watched my 7-year-old play, it was 2-2, it was great, and guess what, Matt? I've bought the greatest thing ever, and it only cost me £15,
yeah.
The great, it's a collapsible camping chair.
No, they're good.
Oh, mate, it's great. I go to football matches now. I can sit down. There's a drinks holder in it. Then when you're done, it folds up. Because I hadn't practiced taking it out. You take it out of the bag and then unfold it. And I thought, oh, God, I'm going to look like an idiot. No.
Do you know you can get a sofa, a collapsible sofa, in exactly the same style? It folds out as two people.
What?
Yep.
Wow, so this is it. What a world we're living in, Matt. Forget your robot cars and forget your bumming on Mars. I want collapsible sofas.
Yeah, yeah, they're good. If you're going camping, you've got a loved one, you're cuddling up, it's the fireplace, it's the...
I want a collapsible fireplace.
That's another... I don't see any of those on sale yet, but the collapsible sofa is another level from your collapsible chair.
When was the last time you lit a firework?
I lit a firework?
Yeah, you personally. You
last year, we had a big thing at my friend's, and I was the man who had to light all the stuff and run away and tell all the children to just go away. This is going to be dangerous.
Yeah, and had you ever lit in a firework before?
No, I've watched my dad do it dangerously for years, going, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
And then it was suddenly my job, and I thought, actually, yeah, you're right. It is very scary.
What are you, 47?
Yes.
Boom! And, God, that made me feel good. I hadn't lit a firework until about 2 or 3 years ago, Matt, and I'd always been, we didn't really have fireworks at our house when I was a kid. We had 1 year and it was a disaster, so we'd always go to the local park. And I hadn't lit one till my mid-40s. And when I lit one, my goodness, the power. I felt, kids, go and stand over there with your mother. Yeah. Isn't it sexy?
It is, it's fantastic, but you're standing there with some random Chinese product, very close to people that you love.
British culture.
And obviously, people have had a drink.
Yeah.
So the adults aren't helping at all. They're going, you're the guy, go. And you're lighting some random blue fuse and...
You're lighting Chinese bombs. And if they ever decide to take over, you mark my words, the Saturday closest to the 5th of November, we're all going to blow ourselves up and then we're going to be invaded by the Chinese. I did one a couple of years ago with my boys and it went wrong and I had to go, everybody inside! And we had to run in and shut the door. It may have been last year, actually. We had to run in and shut the door while this firework was zigzagging all over the garden and my youngest was in tears.
And then you get the older guys. My dad did this thing for a while, saying, oh, I'm just going to the Elephant and Castle. I know this guy, he'll get some special ones.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I don't know what we were lighting, but it may as well have been in some sort of, incendiary device.
Yeah, this is it, man. Yeah. Nuclear style. Matt, thank you very, very much indeed. I enjoyed that call. You're a firework lighter, Catherine.
I lit my first firework last year.
Oh, last year!
Which was, I think I'm probably the first female in our family ever to light a firework.
This is a great moment. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. Pretty good. Feel pretty good about it still. And I feel like I've blazed a trail. And maybe I'll...
Well, I hope you don't, because otherwise that's where the problems are. If you start
next time
I'll
put it in a milk bottle.
There we go. I have problems with the rockets, because you're supposed to... Well, some of them... It's not the rockets. It's the big, like, box that's got, like, 100 things on it. You're supposed to bury it halfway into the ground. Well, I didn't do it. I just kind of pushed it into the mud a little bit. And that was the one that fell over. It then, the force of it, blew it over. And
it became a rocket launcher.
It became a rocket launcher. Everybody inside! It was just me and the two boys. Everybody in! Here we go! Shut the door. Lock the door. Youngest is in tears. Nothing to stop me. Stop crying. It'll be fine. Fun times. Let's go to Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, Chris.
Get show troops who were brilliant in TV shows and then did a bit of a dud of a movie.
Yes, sir.
The League of Gentlemen.
Is that the one?
Oh, no, you're joking.
I would love you. I'd love you to tell me. What was the sketch show that the League of Gentlemen did, Chris?
The League of Gentlemen, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3.
That was kind of like the sitcom that was set in a village, yeah?
Oh, well!
You're not the first person to say that. There was one on... There was Gareth on Twitter also said the League of Gentlemen. Oh! And Pete says, the League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse, which definitely qualifies. This...
We've won the people's vote, then, haven't we?
Sorry?
We've won the people's vote, surely.
No, the people's vote. This is a bit of benevolent dictatorship. Benevolent sometimes. Yeah. No! The League of Gentlemen was not a sketch show. It was
quite a lot of sketches, isn't it?
Yeah, that were tied together into a... I would call it sitcom.
I wouldn't call them sketches either. I'd call them vignettes.
This is dividing further and further.
But there's an overarching storyline, isn't there?
Well, I heard on a podcast recently, the definition of a sitcom is something that from the beginning of the sitcom to the end of the sitcom... Nothing changes by the end of the sitcom. The situation.
What podcast did you hear that on?
You asked me that. The Rule of Three podcast. It's really, really good. It's all about comedy writing.
Mm, sounds very... But,
mate, nothing changes from the beginning to the end. Well, then, how about the Office Christmas special?
Yeah, I have to say, I was listening to it.
That changes massively from the beginning to the end. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Chris. It's been really nice talking to you, but it's been even better totally destroying you live.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
By the way, everybody on Twitter who is saying that the League of Gentlemen is a sketch troupe, I'm reporting you. Reported and muted. So, stick it up your bum. We've got Alistair, we got Paul, we got Jack, but before all of those, we have the mighty... Oh, hang on a second, that's the wrong line. We have the mighty Martin!
Hello.
Hello, mighty Martin!
I want to cheer up, right? That is Brexit shitty Britain tonight. One joke, if you might mind.
What's your language? Okay, whoa.
I'm horrified. I'm horrified.
She's a lady.
Okay. Right.
Let me lick your ears out.
No, it's fine.
Okay, it's a quick joke.
Sam, can I lick your ears out?
Okay. Maybe later.
Okay, thank you. Martin, please continue. I'm looking forward to this.
Right. That is a local paper boy, Alan.
Oh,
walked into the hospital like
yes.
With six plastic horses inside his stomach.
With six what inside his stomach? Horses? Black horses?
Plastic horses inside his stomach.
If Alan is listening and wants, this is Alan's nemesis, Martin. If Alan wants to call back in, I will put you straight on, Alan, if you want retribution. What is it, revocation? Right to reply.
Stomach condition.
Okay, where you going, Max? He's got six black horses in his stomach.
Sticks, plastic horses, yep. Alan Caddick. Oh, no, Alan was admitted to hospital with six plastic horses inside his stomach.
Yes.
The latest news, he's in a stable condition, Alan Caddick. Oh, sorry, Alan.
Oh.
He's in a what?
Stable condition.
But he said stable.
I know.
Stable.
He said stable.
He balls it up.
But you should see the size of his penis. Now, because horses have got big dicks. Alan has not called in, Martin, so it's 1-0 to you.
Thank God for that, Alan.
Thank God for that. Anything else, Martin?
Yes.
Oh.
Brexit is crap, man.
Thanks very much indeed. There we go. Brexit is crap now. Let's go to Jack. Good evening, Jack.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Jack.
Today's been the day from hell.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, I've just killed the mood.
Spit it out.
You know how you've got some days, and they feel like they should be really good, but yes. Then they just go downhill.
Yes.
It went downhill.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you talk to your parents about this?
Yes.
Okay. And what do your parents say about this?
They're supportive.
Okay, good. Because here's the thing. I love our phone calls. I really enjoy chatting to you. I think you're a very intelligent, very witty, very kind young man. But I do worry that... Now, remind me, are you 14 or 15?
I am 15.
15 years old. Okay. It does concern me that a 15-year-old young man, such as yourself...
Yeah.
...chooses a late-night radio show to bare your soul and to share your woes, which you seem to have quite a lot of. You're very unlucky, I would suggest. And I just wonder if it would be more appropriate, because I can't do anything, right? All I can do is tell you that you're brilliant and that's it. I just wonder if it would be more appropriate to talk to those people who are nearest to you, like your parents, your teachers, your priest, I don't know, whoever the people are that are closest to you, that are real in your life, so that they could potentially help you put some changes into your life that mean that these things happen less often or they have less of an impact on you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
They like you like that at Talk Radio. They like you like that.
Radio.
Good evening, Alan. Welcome to the Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you, lady?
Catherine Boyle.
Amy's on the phones. 0344-499-1000. It's distorting in my head, but I have slightly different headphones in. Is it sounding okay out there? Beautiful. Then that's just the way it goes sometimes. Alan, what have you got for us tonight?
Well, I've got a theory about this whole Brexit thing.
Oh, well, are we doing the B word? Really?
Well, I've got a theory. Right, it's treated like a game show.
Go on, then.
I've been Boris Johnson and in Noel Edmonds. Could it steal or no deal?
It what?
Your Boris Johnson's just like Noel Edmonds.
Just like Noel Edmonds.
I think Noel Edmonds might disagree.
Just like Noel Edmonds. It's dull, it's overrated, and it's been going on for way too long. Thank you very much, Alan. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, this is Monday evening, it's 10:07, and just playing my old Guelo there has really shagged me up. Also, I've got this cold, right? The only thing that I've got that deals with a cold is fresh ginger boiled up, honey and lemon. And I've got one of those like big mugs, and I poured it in there, and I've finished most of it, but I hadn't locked the big mug, and it's basically gone all over my bag. So in the studio now, it looks like Shola Ammer's stall at a car boot sale. All of my stuff from my bag is laying out on the floor. There's a mug, there's a couple of diaries, there's a book, there's a retro gamer magazine, ruined. There's a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young magazine and some other bits and pieces. And it really is very, very upsetting to me to find that my bag is in such a state. It feels like I've been violated, ladies and gentlemen, violated. Big question tonight. Who are you scared of despite the fact you are actually an adult? I have several people. I've got three. We're going to go for you the top three, and we're going to compile a list, okay? I was swimming. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You'd be very welcome. You'll speak to Amy. She will take your name and number and give you a call straight back. She doesn't even care what you're calling in about. She doesn't even listen to this show. She's listening to Tom Snorbrick on LBC right now. That's where she is at. So she doesn't even care what you want to talk about. In fact, your phone calls interrupt her listening of that radio station, which is being closed down next week. So I would suggest phone her up and interrupt her because, it's fun for us. 0344-499-1000. Anything goes. But people that you are scared of, I have three. Even though I am an adult, I'm approaching 50. There are three people I'm scared of. The first one is, lifeguards at swimming pools. I took my kids swimming at the weekend. They have like an hour long family swim where they chuck in like floats and balls and things like that. And it's wicked, right? And it's for kids and families to just mess around. Okay. So it's free swim. It's not proper swim. There's no lanes. The lanes are taken out. It's a free for all, right? And it's epic. And there are three or four lifeguards on duty. They're all 18, 19 year old kids, right? And I am still terrified to do, I am telling my kids not to jump in case they get told off. I'm telling them to don't stand on that. Go and get the ball, but walk slow. I'm terrified of the, no. Stop that. No. The whistle and the wagging finger. No, I'm terrified of it. I'm 30 years older than a lot of these kids. And I am terrified of the lifeguards at the swimming pool.
Well, you know why?
Go.
Because they are the embodiment of being singled out and humiliated. First the whistle,
yep.
Then the point.
Yep.
Everyone
yep.
knows your shame.
Yep. But they're great guys and gals.
They're bored most of the time.
When they kicked us out after an hour, because it closes after an hour, and then people hire it for like birthday parties and stuff, I booed them. And they laughed. They laughed at the booing. They got it, right? So that's number three, right? Number two for me, Rebecca Vardy terrifies me. Dark vibe emanating from that woman. Absolutely terrified. If she were to walk in now, I would clam up. I would be all nervous and I would be overly nice to her because I'm terrified of her. But number one person that I am scared of, despite the fact I am a grown up man, is any form of tradesman or workman in my house. You heard how the plumber spoke to me, how he was, first thing he came in was, oh, you got a pretend scooter out the front.
Over familiar.
We got a pretend, I went, what? Think he, did he actually think it's a cutout of a scooter? No, he was just dissing it as being an old woman's scooter.
No, what he was doing was showing off about his.
Yeah, he's got a Lambretta. All right, fair enough, right? And instantly.
That stuff still matters to you as a grown-up
instantly,
person.
Instantly. I crumpled and went, well, yeah, I just got it because it's cheap and no one's going to steal that. And what I should have said was, I love that bike. It's given me freedom. It's given me strength. It's given me confidence. It means everything to me. And I didn't. And then I let him try and talk me into, as if you were listening last week, you will have, Pete says, we're taking the Popo as red, right? I'm not afraid of the Popo.
Not even the armed ones?
No, I have respect for them. I have respect for them. I'm not afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of them. I have a lot of respect for the lady Popo.
Doesn't they call them that?
Something about the police officer uniform is lousy, right? But there's something about a lady police officer. That's my thing. I've decided that is you know, that's like some women are turned on by firemen, yeah. And for some people, men and women, it's school uniform. Some men, it's French maid. For me, the lady Popo. It works for me. It's incredible. And sometimes I stop at a petrol station on the way home, and it's where the feds, Los Federales, hang out. And sometimes there are some lady Popo there. And yeah.
I've been in Nando's before, and I've seen you get unnecessary when they come in for their collection.
I always nod, good evening, officers. So I'm not scared of them. So it's any workman. So this plumber who tried to get me to commit insurance fraud, and for a second I'm thinking I should go along with this just to be. What basically has happened is a man has charged me £45 to ruin my bathroom. Can't use that bathroom now. Mm-hmm. Can't use it. The kids went in at the weekend and screamed. They were so scared by it. Can't use it to the point where now I'm talking to a builder to see if I can afford to get the bathroom completely redone. It has to be redone at some point. I was hoping I'd get another year, 2 years out of it. But now I have to go on another reality television show to pay for a new bathroom. I'm not going on a reality
TV.
Yes, maybe I'll have to. So so any form of workman in my house, I am terrified of. Those are my top three. At number three, it's the lifeguards at the swimming pool. At number two, it's what's her name? Becky Vardy. And at number one, it's any form of workmen in my house. Who is yours, dear listener? We'll find Catherine's in a minute. 03444991000 is the telephone number. Oh. And we've got, let's just say, all I'm going to say is League of Gentlemen. Tell you more after this. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
There we go. That tension. It's that little bit of tension. It's like when you go and see a rock band in concert and they come on stage half an hour after the time it says they're going to come on stage in your ticket. It's all part of the tension. The late night alternative, Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle, every weeknight from 10. I have something very important I want to say. Extinction Rebellion. Because of you protesting on and in the streets of London today and closing a lot of the bridges and bringing London to a standstill, it took me an extra 45 minutes to get into work. Catherine, how much longer did it take you?
About 35.
Yeah. Took us much longer to get into work. And I have to say, Extinction Rebellion, it was a small minor inconvenience that I can put up with in my life if it brings more attention to the fact that we are rapidly destroying this planet. So I would like to say on behalf of myself and Catherine Queen,
for sure,
this,
yeah.
Thank you to every brave soul that is out there under the Extinction Rebellion banner today. that is not getting paid for work or is taking paid holiday or is risking arrest to bring to the attention of the governments of the world and also the citizens of the world that we are killing this planet. We are destroying it. The science is out there. You can dispute it if you want, but science is real. And thank you to everyone today who has been arrested in an attempt to make sure that my kids and my grandkids have got water to drink, food to eat, and a planet to live on. I'm not going to resort to the lazy cliches, calling you dirty hippies and saying you should all get jobs. I know a load of you have got jobs. I wish I were as brave as you to go out and protest. I know the protests, they're slightly problematic. What if someone needs to get to a hospital in emergency? What about the people going for radiotherapy? What about? I know, but protests are inconvenient. Whatever that protest, whatever that strike is, it's always inconvenient. There will always be people that suffer more than others. I think genuinely that the good that you are doing outweighs the bad, and there is some bad. So on behalf of me,
Ami,
Extinction Rebellion, thank you very much. Keep up the good, peaceful, safe protests.
Hashtag Team Greta.
There we go. Now that may go out as a video, but I'm embarrassed because I said other instead of other.
I thought it made you sound cool.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I think that. I've been thinking really long and hard. By the way, you can call in about anything. Are the phones working? Do we know, Amy?
They're supposed to be.
We know they're supposed to be. They've been supposed to be for the last 6 months. I've been thinking really long and hard about the Extinction Rebellion thing. And I know it's, here's the thing again, right? I put something out on Twitter and, but Twitter is not a place to have a nuanced discussion. We know that. If you want to call in about them today, you're welcome to 0344-499-1000. What we won't do is I will not allow the lazy. I bet this station today has been an absolute nightmare for anybody in favour of it. I can just imagine some of the vile, get a job, go and have a wash, get Boris's water cannons to clean them all down. Why, you wouldn't go and do this in China? No, because they would be shot in China. I bet that, here's the thing. I totally believe in the science of climate change, because it's science. And as They Might Be Giants said, science is real, okay? It's indisputable, and anyone that disputes it is a climate change denier. They are a denier. They are telling you, a gob on a stick that has a microphone in front of them is telling you that they know more than actual scientists. I don't know more than scientists. I'm going by what the majority of scientists are saying. And the fact that we give credence now, in 2019, we give credence to people who are saying, no. The majority of scientists are wrong. It's the scientists on the fringe. It's the Piers Corbyns. It's the ones on the fringe. They're who we should listen to. The majority of science is wrong. And they're being paid by people to tell you this anyway. The fact that we listen to those people are just really, you know, Julia Hartley Brewer is one of those people. She's on, what is she on here? 200,000 a year? Quarter of a million a year? Something like that, I would guess, right? And who's paying her? Well, Rupert Murdoch, who owns The Sun. Right. So just keep that in context. Paying me as well. Nowhere near as much, but paying me. Why would you listen to her more than a scientist? If someone can explain that to me, 0344-499-1000. So the thing that Extinction Rebellion are protesting about, I totally agree with, right? Now, is blocking several bridges in London the right way of going about it? Strikes and protests have to cause disruption. If they were just to all stand together in Hyde Park with a load of placards, well, no one would talk about them.
Take a petition to number 10.
Yeah. No one would talk about them. Who would care? No one would care, and it wouldn't get on the press. They have to do something that will get them in the press. And they will be talked about every day for the next 2 weeks that they're protesting, without a shadow of a doubt, right? Every single day, they will be talked about. But I also accept it's problematic that businesses are going to lose money small businesses are going to lose money. They're the ones that I'm concerned about. We did hear stories in the last one that people that were going off for their chemotherapy couldn't get through. I get it. It's problematic, and I don't really have an answer for that. Some people saying, yeah, well, what about all the extra pollution from your car? Yeah, it took me an extra 45 minutes, an extra 35 minutes. It'll take me longer to get home because I'll have some of the bridges shut off. Yeah, I would suspect, and again, I don't know if there is an expert listening that can tell me, I would suspect that the amount of extra fuel that is used by cars and the amount of extra carbon that is put into the atmosphere over the next 2 weeks, in the great scheme of things, I would imagine is not that significant.
Here's the other thing that no one's talked about so far that I've heard of. People who are taking unnecessary journeys, who don't fancy sitting in their car for an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes,
yep,
and could walk, are now walking for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's making people, it's forcing people to think, is this really the only way I can do this?
If anyone wants to come on from Extinction Rebellion, no reason you'd be listening to this, you'd be very, very welcome, and you would not get the short shrift that I know you've got on other shows. You will be questioned. This isn't a whole, hey guys, I want to stick my tongue up your crack, and you will be questioned, because I don't quite know what the end game is. Well, I know the end game is to try and save the planet. I don't know what the short game is, or intermediate game. Because what is the gap? Is it that you want Boris Johnson to bring closer the date that we go carbon neutral? I don't know. Actually, now I've said it out loud, I think that probably is one of the things that they are suggesting. Another thing I like about this is it's all completely peaceful. It's all peaceful. There's no violence. There's no aggression. I took my kids to see the last one because I thought it was important. There's no violence. There's no aggression. Harrison says, I agree with the science. I disagree with those who are resisting arrest and making things difficult for the police. Well, that's part of the job of a protester. I don't think they're resisting an arrest in as much as they're being violent or aggressive. I think they're just doing that thing of making their bodies go limp. I think. Again, if I'm wrong, if you have seen stuff to the contrary, then let me know. And don't worry, we're going to tit around tonight. This isn't all going to be this. This isn't the new direction. This is just what I was wanted to say anyway. Resisting arrest is kind of part of it. And someone say on Twitch said, yeah, what about the police being stretched because there's all the stabbings? Yeah, the police are being stretched. Yeah. Like I say, it's problematic. I can't 100% get my head completely around what they're doing. And I'm happy to be swayed either way on some of the stuff that they're doing. But overall, I think they're doing more good than harm. I think their message is pure. The fact that last time all the streets were covered in, all their graffiti was done in chalk. And the day that they were wrapping up, do you know what they did?
Washed it off.
They washed it all off. Well, you can't argue with that. They're not spray canning it everywhere. They washed it all off. It's peaceful. It's an occupation. I think I'm on their side. Part of me wishes I were brave enough to go and join them. So that in 40 years time, my grandkids say, well, did you do anything in that, granddad? I suppose I can say I supported them on air when 90% of my colleagues were calling them out for being scumbags. I suppose I can say that. That's something. That's a tiny part to play. I'm definitely on their side. I think I pretty much condone what they're doing. I think.
Okay.
But it's nuanced. It's nuanced and it's subtle and there's shades.
We've got in the Evening Standard online, nearly 300 people have been arrested in connection to the Extinction Rebellion protest in London as activists brought Westminster to a halt. It comes as the government, the group demands the government takes urgent action on climate change. Banners with tell the truth, no coal mines, no fracking. Right. 300 people, some of them will be wrong-uns.
Yeah. Well, there's some wrong-uns working here. You know, there's wrong-uns. You get a group of people, there'll be wrong-uns. I kind of agree with them. I do agree with people's right to protest. I do agree with people's right to strike. I agree with all of that. I agree with it.
And as for the use of police resources, we find them for other things.
Yeah.
This is something, these people think that the end of the world is coming.
Yeah.
They're trying to save the world as far as they're concerned.
I'm on their side. Unless you can convince me otherwise, and of course I'm sure we will get stories from people who say, yeah, but my dad couldn't go and see his wife who was dying. We'll get stuff like that, and I don't have an answer for that. And I'm not going to pretend I have an answer for that. That is tragically, tragically sad. Stories like that are tragically, tragically sad. I don't have an answer for that. And that's why I'm not as popular a radio host as I know I could be, because it would be so easy for me to come in and say these absolute shitbags on the street should all be carted off and hosed down with water cannon. Or it would be easy to come in and say I totally agree with them 100% and everything that they're doing, and if you couldn't get to your chemotherapy, well, that's just tough because we won't have a planet in 50. If I could pick a side like that, I'd be a much more popular radio host. I can't. It's nuanced. Nuance is the word.
Real life isn't Twitter.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And we've lost that. If you want to give us a call about that, you can. 0344 499 1000. Also, if you want to give us a call, and we haven't got your list yet, we'll do it soon, Catherine, of the top three people that you are scared of, despite the fact that you are an absolute actual adult. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Brian. Good evening, Brian.
Hi, Ian. I just wondered, right, do you remember back in the 1990s we had this problem with the so-called ozone layer? You know, saying all the ozone's going to be destroyed.
There was a hole in the ozone layer, and it was trapping in cosmic rays, and it was going to burn the planet, yeah.
Exactly, and don't use sprays, whatever you do, don't use hairsprays.
Yeah.
Apparently now it's healed itself, from what I gather, it's now fixed itself, so the planet does have a...
No.
You know, it has the ability...
Can I stop you there and point out the obvious huge flaw in what you're trying to say?
Yes, please.
Do you know why it fixed itself?
I guess, I don't know. Probably we stopped using loads of CFCs.
We stopped using the CFCs. We stopped doing the stuff. There was a big hole over, was it the Arctic or the Antarctic? I always get confused.
Yeah.
And it was trapping in sun's rays, and they would bounce around and they couldn't escape, and it heated up the planet. We all listened to the advice. We did what we were told and stopped using, or certainly drastically cut down on CFCs, and it healed it healed itself. Isn't that amazing? So it shows that we can make a difference to our planet.
Yeah, is this going to sound really daft, but I've always wondered, why don't we observe other planets next to us and see if there's any changes on their planets? Do you know what I mean? Like Venus or whatever, do you know what I mean?
We could study Uranus.
Well, it could be.
They don't have atmospheres like us, and they're completely different planets. Listen, there are cycles on the Earth's planet, right? We know that there are cycles, and think we've had the ice age and the hot age and the wet age, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
There are cycles, but the argument here is, from the scientists, I believe, I haven't read all the reports, is that we are hastening up the changes.
Right.
And making it worse significantly quicker.
Yeah.
And by what we did in the 90s, it was kind of about, it was the mid 80s, I think it was really brought to attention. Because I remember doing endless school projects on it when I was about 14, 15, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. We changed, the world changed, and we helped heal the world.
It's not quite healed.
It's still there. It's still there a bit, but it's drastically smaller.
We should be back to 1980 levels by the mid part of this century.
There you go.
But there is a trend towards healing, yeah.
Yeah.
Just before I go, I'll tell you the three people I'm scared of before I go.
Yeah, go on, Brian. Let's have it.
Hang on. You know, Los Angeles, when you see photographs of Los Angeles on the TV, it's all full of smog. They don't seem to be doing much there, do they? To be honest.
Los Angeles does get a bit smoggy. Not as smoggy as it used to be.
Oh, right. Three people I'm scared of. Number one, the dentist.
Oh.
Number two, tramps. I can't stand being next to tramps. I get really scared because I've got scabies or whatever, so I run after them.
Well, you're not going to have sex with them, Brian.
No, but they might have scabies or something, because I'm frightened in case they touch me.
What is scabies?
Scabies, you know, like, where you get, like,
all people sometimes get it's like a thing under your skin, like a scaby mate that burrows under your skin and you start scratching.
Right.
I assume that tramps have got that because obviously
I don't think many tramps have scabies. Not these days.
Unless you're sharing a shirt with them or a bed, you might be all right.
Yeah. Stop inviting strange tramps back to your house for sex and shirt swapping parties.
Oh, no, thanks. And the third person I'm scared of is like Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, you're scared of them.
Yeah, because they try and convert you, don't they? And knock on me door all the time.
But you have the power. I'm saying this as though my fear of lifeguards is rational. Of course it's not. But with sometimes I have a good chat with the Jehovah's Witnesses. But if I'm not feeling up to it, I just go, no thanks, not today, thank you.
I feel a bit sorry for them.
Yeah,
I do. I'm not sorry for them.
Yeah. But we'll put those on.
Kingdom Hall next to me, you see.
Say that again, Brian.
I've got a Kingdom Hall on my doorstep.
They've got Kingdom Hall, so they're coming round all the time. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just join them. Dive in with both feet. Become a Jehovah's Witness, Brian.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on their kill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tomorrow night from 10
on Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Thayer. Good evening, Thayer.
Good evening. Hello. How are you?
I'm very, very well, Thayer. What can we do for you this evening?
Right. Well, I just wanted to talk about the Clinton Rebellion thing. Right. Basically, yes, there is science out there. And we know that there's a problem. However, is Britain alone going to be able to solve the problem?
No, of course not. Of course not, but you're right, this argument, where you're going with this is nonsense, right? It's nonsense. Yeah. Because this Extinction Rebellion is happening all over the world, okay? So it's not just Britain, but we can certainly, if Britain shows initiative, other countries will follow. You know that, don't you?
Right. That's what I was just getting at. Sorry. You cut me off before I could explain what I wanted to say. What I was going to say was that the biggest causes of pollution at this moment in time are United States of America, Republic of China, and India. They themselves are the biggest causes of...
Okay, and your point is?
My point is that we should be able to demonstrate to them how they can change their economies so that they don't do it. But at the moment, they don't have the technology to be able to do that just yet, or the resources.
Also, we buggered India up. India is our fault. India is our fault that they're so far behind us in terms of fuel and stuff. In fact, that they're using so much coal is because we left that country a dried up husk. That's our fault. So yeah, we should be offering them, we should be inspiring them. We should be sending them technology. We should be teaching them. We should be helping them out. Totally.
And I don't mean just India. I mean talking about the whole of the world.
Yeah.
Britain, you know, we have a very ingenuous, can't get the word out now. You know, we have a country that are very entrepreneurial in our spirit and how we do things. We're good at creating new ways and new means of doing things. And I think we should be part of the forefront of the new technologies that are coming on, especially green energy. And also how teaching people how best to behave and how to be good citizens of not just their country, but of the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, our parliament isn't doing that example for us, which is another issue.
Thayer, can I ask a lazy question?
Yeah.
Where is your name from, man?
It's actually pronounced Tahir.
Tahir? Oh, I'm sorry. What is that, Swedish?
No, I'm actually, I was born in Kenya, but I'm from Indian descent.
Oh my gosh, wow, okay. So it's an Indian name?
It's actually an Islamic name.
Okay, wow. Yeah. All right. Hey, Tay, well, I'm sorry I pronounced your name wrong, and I'm going to let you go because it's not a great line, but I appreciate the call. Thank you very much indeed. I'm not going to argue with it. I mean, look, here's...
here's some of the texts that this or tweets this station gets, right? This is from Crazy Goat. If all those eco loons really are this concerned about the planet, then why don't they all meet up at beaches up and down the country to spend 2 weeks picking up litter and plastic? That's be better for the environment than dancing around like headless chickens in Westminster. Who knows? Maybe they do. Maybe they do. I mean, it's possible, but, no, you're wrong, and you know you're wrong.
What if they could stop people tipping plastic out into the environment in the first place? What if they could speak to the power? I pick up plastic.
When I'm out and about, if I'm at the park with the kids, right, and they're playing, and I see some crisps, I'll go around while the kids are playing and pick up stuff and put it in the bin. That's easy. You could do that. You could do that, Texter.
Do you know what I've realised? Small things, it could make a difference. You know, you're recycling and stuff, and I know there's always this theory that it all gets chucked in the same place, but the will is there, and I'm educating my children to separate things out. And put them in the recycling, and also it helps because we don't get weekly bin collections, right? So it's just staggering it.
Yeah.
But also, I've stopped doing things that I didn't realise. I'm not a litter bug. I hate it, but I've been doing things over the years. They've been contaminating the water system, like my contact lenses. I used to chuck them down the toilet.
Matey.
Completely thoughtless.
Yeah.
Not doing it on purpose. You know, I'm not that sort of person, but it's just made me modify my behaviour a little bit. If everyone does that, it will make a difference.
I mean. What is there to knock them about? They're blocking up London. Okay.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Okay. Small businesses, I don't care about the big ones. Small businesses, independent businesses are losing money. Okay, I'd like to see the evidence of that. I'm sure it's true in some places. And people going to hospitals. I mean, am I missing something? Not to downplay the people going to hospitals thing. Am I missing something? These people, whatever you think, they're genuinely trying to save the planet. It's not as if I could understand, although I'm generally on the side of strikers, generally. But I could understand why some people might get angry at, let's say, train drivers striking for more money. I could kind of I can understand why people would get angry at that.
Because it feels like a selfish decision, right?
Yes, and it's causing a problem, and I can understand that. But... I mean, so look at this. Brian Fairclough says, right on, unfunny ponce with a tash, condescending and hoolier than thou lefty loveys, eh?
Okay, well, so where's the counter-argument in
no,
that?
No, but hang on, I'm not condescending. I'm not being holier than thou. I'm saying it's, I don't do all the stuff I could do. I'm saying it's nuanced. Lefty lovey? I thought loveys were actors. Are they actors? I haven't acted for 10 years.
No, but this is the whole point, right? You saw the guy from ABBA talking about the way people are having a go at Greta Thunberg online, and now some people are trying to cancel ABBA.
Can't cancel ABBA. You cannot cancel ABBA.
But going for her personality, going for her the way she expresses herself, going for what she looks like, all nice distractions for people who don't like what they're being told but don't have a counter-argument. And that is exactly what that guy did just then on Twitter. Being personal, but not telling you why he thinks they're wrong.
I have a tweet here. I don't know if this is true. There is footage of it, but we don't know. It says here, Extinction Rebellion have closed Whitehall, but are making sure emergency vehicles get through. I've got a little bit of footage and a tweet. I don't know if that's true. But... I don't know, right? And here's the thing, we can talk about this in a nice way, all right? We don't need to, if you disagree, we don't need to insult each other. It doesn't have to go that route. We can just chat about it, can't we? Remember the old days people just chat about stuff? 03-44-499-1000. This is the Late Night Alternative every weeknight from 10 with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Kiss on me.
You wanted the best.
Well, you got us instead.
Hope you enjoyed that little private show there for the fans on Periscope. Little private lip sync battle. Good evening, dear listener. Late Night Alternative, we are live. This is not a best of yet. 7 minutes past 10 on Tuesday, October the 8th. My name is Ian Lee. You might recognise me. I was the guy that stole the strawberries in the jungle a couple of years ago. And Cat and Ball did a report on a donkey on local TV about 15 years ago.
It was very important.
Very important. We think the phones are working kinda.
Uh-huh.
Kinda. So let's see. 03444991000 is the telephone number. Can we test to see if the phones are working? We have a best of on standby. If the phones go down, we go home. Nearly weren't in tonight. Very tense day today. Standoffs. Standoffs were put in place. I'm not coming in unless you can get the phones to work. The position that I took. And in many ways, I'm disappointed they got the phones to semi-work, because I really wanted to see Joker tonight. I haven't seen Joker. You've seen all of the news channels in America accounting how many mass murders there have been inspired by the Joker. So far, zero. But they're there with their counts, waiting. The if there is a mass shooting, it won't be inspired by the Joker. It will be inspired by Fox and CNN banging on about the mass killings we should get because of the Joker. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Mm.
Partly because, can I say something controversial?
Oh God, what now?
Partly because, there is at least one scene, one key scene in the movie.
Right.
Where they play a Gary Glitter song.
So I've heard.
Yeah, they play Rock and Roll Part 1 and 2, which is a big hit in the States. They use it in sports arenas, like baseball games and things. If someone scores a touchdown in baseball, they play.
Are they unfamiliar with the provenance of that?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are. It wasn't a hit in the 70s. This was like in the 90s, I think it became a thing. I could be slightly wrong. Oh, we've got a switchboard that's lighting up. Now Amy's having to work too hard. I think it was in the 90s it kind of became a thing. There are a couple of stories I saw one story on an American website about how the money was going to a paedophile. It doesn't have, Gary Glitter was not a thing in the United States. And there is a part of me that is excited about being in a cinema and hearing that song bursting through the Dolby stereo speakers in a key part in a movie. Doesn't mean I condone child rape. Au contraire.
Yeah.
Au contraire. We
need to underline that for the hard of thinking.
Yeah.
What you like is the music.
I like the music. I'm not happy about him getting the money. If he does get the money, I thought he'd sold his rights to his songs. I thought Gad Glitter had sold his rights to his songs. I don't know that for sure. I thought that was the case. And then maybe I said that before in air and someone phoned up and proved me wrong. That's quite possible. It happens occasionally. But I'm looking forward to that. Certainly not going to, I watched Baby Driver after all of the Kevin Spacey stuff came out. I enjoyed it. So I do want to go and see the Joker at some point. 03444991000, Late Night Alternative. Catherine.
Here's what Wikipedia says about the Gary Glitter song.
Yes.
2019, Rock and Roll Part 2 appeared in Todd Phillips' film Joker, generating public controversy. Sources indicated that Glitter, as co-writer of the song, would receive a lump sum and royalty for its use.
Okie dokie. Sources, though.
Yeah.
Sources. Here's the thing, guys. Sources are not to be believed without questioning. And fake news works both ways. We talked about Extinction Rebellion yesterday before the phones went down. It could have been a really interesting conversation and the phones died. Apologies. We can carry on talking about them. I genuinely thank them for what they're doing. I haven't got the guts to go out and protest with them. Certainly haven't got the guts to be arrested. Although there is part of me who thinks, well, I'm 46 and I've never been arrested. I'd kind of be up for it for the right thing.
Again, it took me an extra 45 minutes to get into work today. Fine, I listened to Radio 4, listened to The Archers, and then phoned up Boyle, and listened to some podcasts. So it's cool. It's right. Genuinely, Extinction Rebellion, if anyone wants to come on from that group, I completely understand why you might want to boycott Talk Radio, but you have nothing but my thanks. Again, to underline the nuance, as it's not all black and white, it is... There are some parts of the protest that are problematic, okay? There are some parts of the protest that are problematic. The key part that people always bring up, 0344-499-1000, and the key part that people always bring up is the fact, in inverted commas, that during the protest in the summer, July I think it was, a guy wasn't able to see his dying dad one last time because the protest slowed him down. So he was driving to see his dying dad, couldn't get past the protest, and his dad died. We all know that. We all know that. Someone mentioned it to me yesterday, and I'd heard it before, and I was just... Yesterday we were then distracted by the phones breaking down and all kinds of shenanigans. But it was playing on my mind as we drove home, that story. And it was playing on my mind for a lot of today. I just kept thinking, kicking it around in my head. A guy was unable to get through the protest and see his dying dad before his dad died. Really, really sad. Really sad. If it's true. If it's true. And I was thinking, well, I don't remember seeing the interview with the guy. That surely was on TV. Surely this would have been, this is such a big thing now that is part of our consciousness. Well, a guy didn't get to see his dying dad. How can you support that? I thought, I don't remember seeing the interview. So me and Kath were in the office. I said, Kath, can you, because you're better at this kind of digging around than I am. I said, could you find the clip, the video, the news footage of the guy who couldn't see his dying dad one last time? Because I'd just like to know a little bit more about it. I'd like to know where it was, what the story was, what hospital it was, all of that.
So I did what any professional journalist would do.
Mm, which is what she is. Right?
And I Googled it.
Tell the... by the way, what a switchboard. Thank you. Nigel, Hannah, Paul, Jesse, Alan and Jack. Going to come to you all in a bit, I promise. Tell everybody what you found. And this is not conclusive, by the way.
No, and this doesn't mean it's not true.
No.
But let's see if you can work out what the sticking point is with this. I found a few reports on it in online newspapers.
Yep.
First one I found, The Metro, dated Thursday, 18th of July, 2019. A driver says he missed his father's final hours yesterday because an environment protest group caused a traffic jam blockade. The unnamed man was stuck in traffic on the M32 on Wednesday after the group set up a blockade causing queues of up to 4 miles long. He called BBC Radio Bristol to say how Extinction Rebellion's actions had prevented him seeing his father for the last time. The full interview is no longer available online, as the grieving son has asked to remain anonymous. BBC Radio Bristol tweeted, a man called us to say he couldn't get into his dad's, couldn't get to his dad's bedside before he died because of the XR protest on the M32. Now, the way BBC Radio Bristol had phrased it is subtly different.
Yep.
A man called us to say he, so they're attributing it to the man. Whereas Metro have put the unnamed man was stuck in traffic, so as if it's fact. But BBC Radio Bristol, very carefully and in a very BBC way, yep, are attributing it to the, what the man is saying. They've not used the word claimed, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
I found it in two other newspapers easily. Extinction Rebellion, dying father is what I put in. I mean, what an awful thing to have to put in. And I'm not trying to find it to not be true. I'm trying to I'm trying to find the origin of this story.
Yeah, I want the evidence. I want the evidence that shows this is a fact and actually happened.
Man unable to reach dying father's bedside after getting stuck in Extinction Rebellion traffic, says the Telegraph. dated 18th of July 2019. A man was unable to reach his dying father's bedside before he passed away after an Extinction Rebellion protest on the motorway left him stuck in traffic. An unknown man rang his local radio station to reveal how he rushed to Bristol Royal Infirmary after doctors told him his father didn't have long left to live, but he did not get there in time because climate change protesters were blocking the M32 into the city. And then they go into what the Extinction Rebellion have been doing.
So what we've got, the BBC Bristol have taken the clip down, apparently because the guy didn't want to be identified.
Although he was unnamed.
Now, here's the thing. This is a phone-in show, right? And you can phone up, and you can tell us anything. And phone-in shows tend to take what you are telling us on face value. There are a few of you who call in that I just don't believe. Me and Catherine have got a really good bullshine detector, right? Really good bullshine detector. That comes from, well, between us, about 40 years. Imagine, 35, 40 years between us of experience of hosting or producing or listening to phone-in, really working on phone-in radio shows. You get a sixth sense. We don't always get it right. Some are more obvious than others. Some we give the benefit of doubt to. We don't always get it right, but we come from a place of believing you. Okay? With a slight little question going on.
The times when we start to disbelieve are usually when we've had a few conversations with the same person and things start to not
add up. Or the first black name they can come up with is Leroy. Something like that, right? But you, dear listener, can phone up a radio show and say pretty much anything, okay? So, and what they don't do on BBC phone-in shows, and because we've worked on them, is they haven't got time or the facilities to fact check every single call that comes in. Could you give me your name? Could you give me the thing? Have you got any witnesses to this? Is there any corroborating evidence? You take it at face. And that's a great story. It's a great story for a phone-in
show. I find it very unlikely that they would have phoned the hospital. I find it very unlikely the hospital would have told them any information that could back that story up.
So what I'm trying to say is, let me put this out there. If it happened, it's really, really sad. Really, really sad. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm definitely not saying it did happen. What I'm saying is there is not enough evidence. There is hardly any evidence. There is no evidence to suggest it actually happened. There's no evidence. There is no evidence out there to prove that this happened.
And if there is, only BBC Bristol has it.
Yeah. Exactly. But the only evidence they would have, unless they have something we don't know, is the phone call from someone who phoned in to a phone-in show where you can say anything you want. If that person's listening, oh my God, I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? You can call in, but then how would we know that you're that person? Do you see the problem? You see the issue? So I am coming down on the side. It's a really tough one to call. I'm coming down on the side of, actually, I don't think I believe it. I'm not coming out and calling it outright a lie. I'm not coming out and saying, well, this is great. You know, wouldn't it be great if you were anti-Extinction Rebellion? You phone up a radio show and you tell this story and it becomes a fact. Not saying that. I'm erring on the side of, I actually don't think I quite believe it. And yet we're bandying it around as if it were a fact. So here's my challenge to you. First of all, can you prove that? Can you prove that? Secondly, if you put that argument of the dying guy to one side, what other argument have you got against Extinction Rebellion? I saw another clip today on Twitter, a woman saying because of the protest, she had to walk a cancer patient 20 minutes to the hospital for treatment. Well, the video that went with that didn't show her, didn't show the cancer patient, just showed footage of people blocking a bridge. I'm just questioning everything at the moment. And I think that that's what you need to do, dear listener. Give us a call. We'll do silly stuff as well. Don't worry. We'll carry on the phoning yesterday of the three people that you are scared of, despite the fact that you are an adult. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio, where Catherine and I like to question everything.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
I think we might be the only people questioning that fact, in inverted commas, in italics. I think we might be the only people that are wondering whether that story is actually true. Because it's a great weapon to use against the movement. It's a great weapon to use.
What I find very unusual is there aren't more stories like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, with my cynical journo head on, if that happened to me, I'd want people to hear about it. If they're not using his name, why wouldn't you stand by it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of questions. But if it did happen, and it might have happened, absolutely tragic and terrible, and you wouldn't wish that on anyone.
We might have the... This is the call. Is this the call?
We're incredibly sorry.
No, that's not the call.
Okay, they played it to her.
One of the was played the interview. Okay. Harrison said the BBC made a protest to listen to the call. The call happened. Well, we know the call happened. We're not disputing that. We're not disputing that it happened. We don't know. Let's go to Jesse. Good evening, Jesse.
Hello, Ian and Catherine.
Hello, Jesse.
I was all set up to ring you last night, and then the phone went down.
Well, the phone, it sounds like your phone still is going down. Are you calling us from the 1920s?
No.
It's a terrible phone line. Hello?
Hello, I can hear you fine.
Well, okay, but we can't hear... We can't hear you.
I can hear you absolutely fine.
Okay, what would you like to say, Jesse?
Two things.
Yes.
First thing... About the who are you most scared? What are you most scared of?
Yes.
Dentist.
Why are you scared of the dentist?
I've got a phobia.
We need to work. Why did dentists get such a bad rap? It's not pleasant.
No, I think olden days dentists were more brutal.
Okay. Did you ever have a dentist pull a tooth out, Jesse, by putting a foot on your chest and yanking?
Yeah, I had a bad experience.
If anyone puts a foot on your chest and starts yanking, I would try and get out of there as quickly as possible.
Swimming instructors.
Oh, instructors.
I had a bad experience.
What happened with a swimming instructor, if you don't mind me asking?
When I was... learning to swim, I got chucked in the deep end.
So it
put me off.
I bet it did. That's terrible.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. We seem to have gone all newsy. Let's correct that immediately. Evening, Cads.
Hi, my podcast.
Hey.
What happened tonight in the Archers? Yeah.
Not a lot. It was quite a boring one. I don't know any of their names, but a man conned a posh lady out of a screw.
Oh my god!
For a cider press.
Oh my god! Must be going down in Ambridge.
Yeah, so they're all going down on each other in Ambridge.
And that's made in Birmingham, you know.
I know it's made in Birmingham. I used to walk past their studio twice a week, and it got me very, very excited.
At the mailbox.
At the mailbox. Here we go.
I've been to the mailbox.
Yeah, okay. So I used to work there. Hey, we're coming to Birmingham next year. We're going to be doing a show in Birmingham. Are you not going to...
Yay!
Okay, just remember the last time I did a show in Birmingham.
Didn't turn up. No, I remember.
What's the date?
I haven't got a date yet.
Have we got a location?
Yeah, the Glee Club.
I've been to a Glee Club.
Okay.
Yeah, not when we were there.
Yeah. Are you going to turn up to this one, Cads?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, let's see.
Is tickets at ianlee.com?
Tickets will be on ianlee.com/events soon. I've just got to finalise the dates and things.
I'll be there.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Bye. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Ian.
What can we do for you?
I'd like to say I'm a big fan of the show. It's brilliant.
Thank you very much indeed.
And the reason I would say that is this. I recommended that to some people where I live locally who are having probably some of the mental health issues a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I recommended them to last night, funny enough.
Oh, God. Last night's show was a
phone lines, won't.
Last night's show was a car crash.
This one sounds like a car crash. You couldn't get the phone lines working and they crept up. Cause you went, oh, I'm not going to say the swear word, but yeah, it was funny how you done it. Listen, mate, this show is fantastic. What, the even, music you play.
Even when it goes wrong, last night was a, I mean, we managed to turn it around.
It was a shocker. But it's like if you have a good CD of all the best songs you've ever heard.
Yes.
And there's a couple on there that a bit of a shock, weren't they? But we all have that problem, don't we, mate?
Well, thank you, Paul, for spreading the word and doing more to advertise this show than Rupert Murdoch does himself. So thank you, brother.
I'm laughing. Like, don't worry about Rupert Murdoch, mate. He's not like us, is he?
He's not like us.
Anyway, all the politics aside, the Brexit. I love your show. I love you and Catherine, your team together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a good little one, mate. And you can get a lot of people, you know, the things you speak about are so empathetic. I think I mentioned this to her before.
I'm empathetic. Kath's just pathetic.
Oh, rude.
Yeah, that's very rude. But she always backs you up. When you say something rude, she'll just go like, yeah, I know you're a cheeky boy. You're a cheeky boy.
Paul, do your impression of Catherine again.
Catherine?
Yeah, go on, that little laugh she does.
Be careful.
Oh, she does. When you say something rude, she goes like...
Well, it depends how rude.
He got you spot on there, Kath.
That's not true. Listen, how's it getting on with you when you go out and about doing your shows in there?
It's going very, very well. We've got two more this year, one in Brighton, we got one in London, and then next year we're planning a tour. We're going to do one every 3 or 4 weeks throughout the country. Cardiff, Birmingham.
Well, when you get down there, you do a better impression than I just did about Catherine. That's not true.
Well, swear.
I promise you this, mate, we'll all cut down. We'll see
you. All right, Paul, thank you very much indeed, you potty mouth loon. Hello, Sven.
Hi, Ian. All right, Kath, how's it going?
Yes.
Hey, well, just a quick one. You stirred that bit of a hornet's nest there with your man, Steve. He's a bit of a eccentric what chap. But
yes.
Listen, are you still after an army jacket? Because I've got a spare couple if you want one.
What do you mean, an army jacket?
Yeah, didn't you? I'm sure I read on a tweet of yours or something that you're after an army jacket.
Yeah, or, did I not tweet that like about five years ago?
When your pen leaked or when you lost it?
No, it wasn't. It was recent. Or it was on one of the podcasts or something. I've been catching up on the podcast.
I lost about 5 years ago. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I lost my favourite green, slightly military Nicole Fari jacket that I'd got in a second-hand shop in Edinburgh, and I lost it. I left it at somewhere. I think I left it in Winchester, of all places. And that was it. I don't think I was looking for an army jacket.
Yeah, do you know what? I might have made it up or dreamt it or something. Who knows?
Great dream, Sven.
But do you want one?
Yeah, sure. That'd be wicked. Thanks.
Do you want one? If you get your crew, give us a ring and then I'll back and then I'll send it.
Well, are these knockoffs? Are you like ex-military?
I am ex-military, yeah. I've called you on and off over the years, Ian.
Have you nicked this stuff from the army?
No, this was actually stuff that I purchased because our kit was always made by the lowest bidder. So if we wanted decent stuff, we used to buy our own.
Are we talking Kevlar, this jacket, or is it just a standard?
No. It's just a normal smock, just like a combat jacket.
Did we talk about this on LBC?
We've spoken on LBC. We've spoken on Absolute.
But about you buying stuff?
No, that wasn't me.
That is fairly common.
Yeah, no, I've heard that about. I did have a call. I remember a call at LBC, so 10, 12 years ago, about them buying their own army boots.
Yeah.
That's insane, man.
Yeah, but I mean, well, you get what you pay for, really. But we spoke more recently when I rang up. I'd just been out with a few mates and stuff like that, and it was on the mental illness thing because I've got PTSD and depression, and I'm working with other veterans and my mates. In relation to that, and it was like, I phoned you up and I'd had a few, but I don't think I was...
Do you fancy... Mate, can I ask you a question, mate?
You may.
Do you fancy a fight?
What?
What are you just like, toe-to-toe?
Yeah, toe-to-toe, stripped to the waist, yeah. Right? Just a fight. Just a fight where we just go for it, right? And there are no rules... No holes barred. We just go for it and we beat the crap out of each other. And after 1 or 2 or 3 hours of fighting, we get up, we shake hands, we have a cup of coffee or a beer or whatever it is, and we have a good old laugh about our fight.
Yeah, I'll be up for that. As long as it's not like the Oliver Reed one in front of the fire.
Oh, it's totally going to be that. And also, you'll destroy him.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm a bit out of shape.
I'm Team Sven.
He's out of shape, right? And please don't take this the wrong way, Sven. He's got PTSD. So I can distract him. I've got tricks to manipulate people with mental health issues.
Oh, my God.
I can distract him. I'm going to beat the crap out of him.
He sneaked up behind me and shouted, bang.
I'll blow up a paper bag and pop it. That's all.
That might just work.
Sven, one night this week, I'm not going to tell, I see you're in Uxbridge. One night this week, I'm going to drive home via Uxbridge and we're going to have a massive fight, okay?
All right, but make it Friday.
Okay, fine. See you then, Sven.
I'm there. And get your, if you want that jacket, give me a buzz and I'll sort you out.
Nice one, mate. Thank you very much indeed. I appreciate that. I'm going to destroy him.
I don't fancy your chances, mate.
I'm destroying Soldier Boy. G.I. Joe is going down. We got phone calls. Joy. What a joy. What a joy. Ian and Kath, Late Night Alternative. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Straight to air. A trick I'm relying on a little bit. No. Let's have no call. No call straight to air. No calls. I don't want any calls.
Or none at all.
None at all. If anyone phones up, tell them, answer it, tell them thanks, but we're not taking any calls. No more calls.
Come back tomorrow, guys.
No more calls. Because I'm relying on straight to air a little bit too much.
I mean, you say that, but for the last 5 days, we didn't have the facilities to do straight to air.
I know, but it is my default setting. I tell you what we can do is me and Kath will just sit and have a chat, and if anyone, we'll do what we did the other day when we didn't have phones. If anyone's got any questions that you want to ask us, you can tweet them at Ian Lee, at Flippin' Kath, or you can text. How do they text? Text the word talk and your message to 87222. Text costs 25 pence. Plus your standard network rate. I never give that out, but we'll just put it out there for people that aren't on Twitter. You can ask me and Kath absolutely anything. We reserve the right to not answer it. You know, we're not saying we're necessarily going to answer stuff, but you can ask us anything. At Ian Lee, at Flipping Kath, or text talk to 87222. What have you got, Boyle?
Stu, I thought we were going to talk about Colleen and what's it?
Oh, yeah, Rebecca Vardy. So it was, everyone knows the story now. So you all know the story, so there's no point in me even telling you what the story is. Very exciting moment. Obviously, I was in the jungle with Rebecca Vardy, and I didn't get on with her. I found her very, very dark, energy from her. The first thing she said to me was, I thought you were an effing twit with an A. Because, I came out in the jungle on day five with Kezia Dugdale. And, then I won my challenge, which no, I thought I was going to do, so up yours. And I had to pick five people to be on my team. Of course, you don't know what any of this means at the time. And I picked the five people whose names I knew. Oh, I got Shappy's name wrong. I called her, after another dark comedian. We're going to call her, I didn't call her Shappy.
Outrageous racist.
I called her, anyway, another famous person of good comedian of colour. You know, terrible. I felt terrible. And what happened was the five people that I picked, or the four or five people that I picked, we went into live in luxury, and the other five went and lived in poverty. It was only for two nights, I think. And then I had to do these speeches. They gave me this script I had to read. And I did this speech and it was, I didn't know, but it was then played to the people who lived in poverty over like a little radio.
Yeah, weren't you supposed to be like a prime minister or something?
Prime minister, that was it. Because Stanley Johnson was in there, that was the thing. And so I didn't see that. And I felt terribly guilty in all of this. It was a horrible head trip. So I didn't see them for like 3 days. I think it was two nights. And on the third day, they came back in the evening. And it was very, very tense. And Vardy came up to me. And she leaned in my face and she went, listening to you on those broadcasts, I thought you were an effing twit. That's the first thing she said to me. And I thought, gosh, that's unpleasant. And I've found her thoroughly unpleasant. It's no great secret that she was my least. Her and Jamie Lomas were my least favourite.
And you haven't even seen it.
I haven't seen it. I can't watch it. I probably will never watch it. And I know that when she came out as well, first thing when she came out, she said that I had a, anyway, I didn't like her. And I don't like her, not just because of the way she treated me, but she was also really, really mean to my sister when she came out. I think Becky came out, she was like second or third person that came out. And, when she went out, that's when I thought, oh, okay, maybe that people are seeing what's going on in here then. Because I thought she'd be in towards the end. Yeah. And when she went out early, I thought, oh, okay. And her face when she got voted out.
She thought she was the queen of the camp.
Yeah. I was scared of her. I was actually scared of her. And she was really, really rude to my sister. She summoned my sister to a meeting in her, she summoned my sister to a meeting in her room. My sister was polite enough to go to it. To not cause any problems for me.
Yeah.
How great my sister is.
She came out and she was confronted with all these newspaper headlines where she wasn't coming off great.
Yes.
And instead of thinking, oh my goodness, was there anything I might have done? It went straight to, oh, they've got me totally wrong. I must sort this out. And the way it manifested was to, like you say, summon your sister to the hotel room to tell her exactly why everyone else was wrong. Even though, you know, we'd seen it. I'd spoken about it with your sister.
So I didn't like her. I didn't really know who she was before. And I've not really followed her career greatly. But it would appear that she's one of those. She's very much into selling stories and being in the press for the sake of being in the press and self-publicity, I think. And there's not a game I want to play. I remember talking to Jenny McAlpine off camera. We were talking about selling stories and we both agreed that is not a game you want to play. Once you start taking £10,000 from the Sun or the Mirror or the Star for a story, they kind of own you. You're in forever.
Yeah.
You're part of that gang forever. And it can turn just as quickly as it can be nice to you.
It's not just that you're in forever. It's that your children are in forever and anyone who's connected with you because you open the door.
Yeah. So this whole thing with the Colleen Rooney, I've always had a soft spot for Colleen Rooney. I think she's really beautiful. I know she was considered quite plain.
She was a schoolgirl, wasn't she?
I always remember her being like branded as plain and I'm thinking, man, she's hot. What is this? I thought the piece that she wrote was beautifully written. Did she write that? Did a publicist write it? I don't know. It was beautifully written. It was wonderfully set up. You see, there's like a tweet from a guy called Dave or something who said that was my idea.
Yeah.
And anyway, I thought it was beautifully written. And I don't know if Rebecca Vardy did it. I don't know if she did it. If her Instagram was hacked, I don't know how Instagram really works. I don't know if she did it. When I saw it, I wasn't surprised. I'm prepared to believe that there might be more to it than we know. It makes a lot of sense, but I don't know if she did it. And does that, my first tweet was loads of people sent it to me going, oh yeah, you're like this. And I did. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed reading it. And I retweeted it. My response was, gosh. Then Shappy phoned me up. And her response was to retweet it with, oh, my. I went, these are the two most British response, gosh and oh, my. And Shappy and I talked about it for a little bit. And we both said, we're not really going to say much about it on Twitter because then it will become, two years after I last met Rebecca, it still becomes a story.
Well, guess what? It still did.
Thing, isn't
even though you hadn't said anything.
There's a thing. I retweeted a couple of things. What did I retweet? I retweeted one saying, imagine if Colleen Rooney had blocked everyone apart from you just so that she could see that you're leaking stuff about Rebecca Vardy. There was another one. Oh, another one about, oh, I retweeted and I unretweeted about someone saying, gosh, I'm so surprised she came across so nicely in the jungle. Then I undid it. And I'll tell you why it'd be easy to get involved in the pylon. I don't really like associating myself with the jungle people anymore, because that was 2 years ago, man. And I'm aware that some celebrities, in inverted commas, they kind of cling to it all the time. I know I talk about it a bit. It's a big thing, but I've been invited to stuff, to awards and events and things, where I've been told that some of the other people from the jungle are going to be there and it'll be a great photo opportunity. And I've gone, yeah. I don't go to those things anyway, but also I don't really want to be in a red carpet with Dennis Wise and Amir Khan. I don't need to do that. If Jenny and Shappy are going to be somewhere, oh man, I'm there. If Jenny and Shappy are going to be in a restaurant, mm-hmm. I'd go and have lunch, I'd go and have dinner with them. I'd go for a night out with them because I love those two. Jenny in particular and her husband Chris, who I consider a friend, although we've not really spoken for a while. So I'd go and hang out with those. And if Jenny phoned me up and said, oh, we're going to this awards thing and a bit nervous, would you come? Of course I would, good, because I consider her a friend. But I don't need to hang out with those people. But also, Twitter pylons, having been in the receiving end of a Twitter pylon, they escalate and escalate, and she's probably had death threats and all kinds of things.
Oh, I've seen threats of violence on there.
And she's a pregnant woman. Now, maybe this is like old school kind of misogyny, what you could be classed as misogyny. You know, maybe this is the same kind of thing.
I know you mean nice guy misogyny.
Yeah, you know, the same kind of thing of holding a door open or giving your seat or something.
Less that than the way people sometimes treat me, where you'll have said something, but they'll have a go. Or they'll say, I feel sorry for Catherine, she obviously hates it. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That thing.
It could be perceived as that. I'm just aware, this is a fact, right, that if you're in a really stressful situation when you're pregnant, that can be dangerous. Yeah. That's dangerous. Yeah. Right? Now, if she has done this, let's assume for a second she has done what she's been accused of doing. She totally brought it on herself, of course. If she did it, it's a really shitty thing to do. It's lousy. It's a scummy thing to do. If she has done it, she's totally betrayed a friend for a few quid. Right? If she has done it, we don't know. But I also don't want to be involved in a machine that is jumping on a pregnant woman. Imagine, and I know that Becky, and she said this, that she tried to commit suicide when she was younger. And I don't want to be piling onto someone who has had suicidal tendencies in the past and is pregnant. Imagine if she tried to kill herself or there was a miscarriage. My God, and I pray to God there isn't. I pray to God there isn't. But imagine.
Also, she's been owned in the most public way.
Yeah.
The most public and humiliating way. Do you really think she needs to hear what you think about it?
Yeah, it's
And yet these people just piling on. People don't know her or having an opinion, you know, and it's spilling over onto, you know, her marriage and all this sort of stuff. I saw threats of violence. And you know, like, we get tweets from people with footballers as their...
Yes.
It's turned into that as well. There's a bit of tribal stuff going on. People who don't like her husband as a footballer and all that kind of crap. Really? Aren't we better than this now?
No, I don't think we are. I've got good reason to dislike her because she was horrible to me, to my face and behind my back. I've got good reason to, but I'm not. I get no, and I'm enjoying the soap opera between the two characters. That bit I'm enjoying. Okay, if I'm completely honest, I'm human. I'm enjoying what's going on between Rooney and Vardy. I get no pleasure from seeing some of the. I mean, there are some funny tweets. Scott Balcony, we're big fans of, tweeted, but just imagine Vardy didn't do it, which I thought was great. And it's a salient point.
It's possible.
It's a salient point. So there are a few tweets that are making me laugh. I'm enjoying the soap opera between the two characters, but I'm not enjoying the pile on. I've had a few people calling me out for saying, I can't get involved in piling on. First of all, I don't believe, you know, Twitter pile on is good. I think it's awful anyway. But I certainly can't get involved in a pile on with a woman who's pregnant. And then people go, well, there was a great tweet from someone saying, would you not get involved in a pile on Hitler if he was pregnant when he invaded Poland?
I
like to think that tweet was a joke. That tweet had to be a joke, man. That had to be a joke. It made me laugh a lot. But,
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, I know for a fact that she tried to kill herself when she was younger. I think she was a teenager. And I know that she's pregnant. And, you know, it doesn't mean you can't call people out for inappropriate, bad behaviour. Of course you can. Of course you can call them out if they're pregnant. Of course you can. If they've, you know, it doesn't mean we give them a free pass for, because they tried to kill themselves when they're younger. Of course not. But I just can't get involved in, a pile-on in that situation.
To me, it's the fact that it's being done for sport.
Yeah.
That leaves a nasty taste.
Yeah, yeah.
And, while I thought her behaviour towards you in the jungle was appalling.
Yeah. You watched it, didn't you? You saw that show.
You know. And when Dennis Wise came in, I mean, it took everything I had to not let him know how I felt about things. But, what would it do for me to kick a woman when she's already being kicked so much?
Let's put this in the podcast because I think this is quite interesting. It's certainly interesting for me to kick this idea around. I'm guessing some people might be interested because there's still a little bit of, you know, jungle stuff. That magic is pretty much worn off, but every now and then there'll be a little, you know, kind of gust of wind that will blow an ember alight a little bit, but that fire's pretty much burnt out. But also I think it's interesting that this is where, I mean, it's good that it's taken Brexit off the front. It'll be the front page of the papers tomorrow. You know, Eamon was talking about it for half an hour. Gosh.
More than that.
Gosh. And it was in the news, you know. It's interesting where we are as a society, and it is a little bit of
it's a circus
lightish relief.
But you know, it's not light relief for the people involved.
Oh no, it's horrendous. It would be horrendous for both. And also, I've probably downplayed the negative effect it would have had on the Rooneys.
I was going to say to you,
yes,
there's a family that have had more than their fair share of negative press.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to think that she's putting up with all that stuff.
She's the victim here.
Putting up with all that stuff and wondering which one of her friends is betraying her, yeah. Flipping her.
She's the victim. She's the victim. Maybe overlook that slightly. Let's quickly go through some of these questions. My question is to both of you from Greg, Shawadi Wadi correspondent. What is the best thing that has happened to you this year? Coming out as bi and getting rid of all of my shame. It's been the best thing that's happened to me this year.
Kiss at the O2.
We got Cher in a couple of weeks. Is that if anything has a chance of equaling or even bettering Kiss, it's Cher. That's the only concert I can think of that might get up to those ridiculous camp standards.
I cannot wait.
It's going to be awesome. Paul says, would I do another reality show? Oh, buddy, how big is the check? I need a bathroom. How big is the check? You know, that was why I did, one of the three reasons I did The Jungle.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.